So just yesterday, the New Zealand Initiative released its latest report called Refreshing Water, Valuing the Priceless. We, of course, here on the East Coast know just how important fresh water is. And just recently, actually, or just a few days back, the Gisborne Herald reported on the state of the Waiapu, Porooporo, Ihungia and Upper Mata rivers, which were given a D for E. coli levels of the National Policy Statement of Freshwater Management. Terrible, terrible stuff. But anyway, since water is our kaupapa, I thought I'd add that in there. From the New Zealand Initiative this morning, we welcome Dr. Eric Crampton to the show. Morena.
Morena.
How are you?
I'm doing well, yourself?
Yeah, not too bad. Although reading those that, you know, what I've just read of our local rivers was a little bit devastating, and it kind of is exactly what you guys are going for, improving the state of our waterways and aquifers. So let's talk a little bit first of all about Minister Parker's program that was released, the Central Fresh Water Program, and how your reports and the things within there will help deliver what's in the program.
Thank you. We think that our report gives a promising way to address at least part of what Minister Parker is trying to achieve in his essential freshwater agenda. If we step back to the 2017 election, at least in my recollection, the two big issues were housing affordability and freshwater quality, and the incoming government made very strong commitments on both of those. In October of last year, Minister Parker and the Ministry for the Environment released their essential freshwater program, outlining a two-year work program to get us towards better environmental outcomes, both in ensuring that the amount of water drawn from our aquifers and rivers stays within sustainable limits, and in addressing water quality around nutrient management and discharges from councils as well. So it's not just agriculture, but more holistically across everyone. Our report is addressing the first part of that. Second part we're going to be coming to in some later work. It's a lot more complicated, but there are some basic principles that need to be established and thought about first when we're looking at freshwater draws from the aquifers and rivers and getting towards sustainable outcomes there. So we suggest that, in line with many prior reports, a freshwater management system based on cap and trade is a very good approach. Mm-hmm. Under those kinds of approaches, the total amount of water that can be taken from the river or from the aquifer is capped, and the cap is set to make sure that environmental sustainability is maintained, that rivers can flow, and that the aquifer isn't depleted. Now, everybody's kind of agreed that cap-and-trade systems are a very good way of addressing that, because not only are those environmental constraints maintained, but the trading system makes sure that sort of the lowest-cost ways of reducing water use are the first ones that are taken up. So if we look to the emissions trading scheme, that still needs to be improved, but the principle there is that those who are most able to reduce their greenhouse gas emissions are given the strongest incentive to do so under the emissions trading scheme. And we think we can do very similarly with a water trading scheme under cap and trade. But progress on that has seemed stymied for at least a decade and a half, because everybody's been worried about potential iwi claims and invoking treaty processes if we move to a more tradable water right. We suggest that that really has to be addressed, that that there are natural justice considerations. If there are legitimate claims in particular catchments, those really need to be dealt to, not just because of the natural justice that's implied there, but also because the environmental costs of failing to move to a better system are mounting. So we really need to bring that in.
And so do you think it is possible to, one, recognize the iwi rights and interests and move forward, because that seems to be what the holdup is?
I think that we have to, that all the prior reports have suggested that reluctance to deal with potential iwi claims has stymied progress towards these kinds of systems. The Ministry for the Environment's consultation documents and cabinet paper that came out as part of their essential freshwater program suggested catchment-by-catchment negotiation with iwi and hapu as being a potential way forward. They had some other options as well, but everything seems very catchment-specific. So a catchment is defined as sort of being the area where water interacts with each other. So the area around a river or with a contiguous aquifer, where drawing water from one place has effects on all of the other places in that same basin. In some places, water rights would have been ceded to the Crown through treaty or contract, but in other places that might not be the case, and that has to get sorted out.
I just note in the press release that your report points to a smart market solution with, so talk to us a little bit about that.
Sure. So this was work that was underway at the University of Canterbury while I was on faculty there in economics. A colleague down in management science was working on it. He's since shifted over to the RAND Corporation, but continued working on it with a colleague over in water engineering in the engineering department at Canterbury. They proposed a smart market system where it's just a beautiful setup. You start with strong hydrological constraints, and you set those in consultation with the community. Mm. We suggest that EWE should be a fundamental part of that process. So it says for the catchment what the river flow has to be and what medium-term aquifer sustainability looks like, and making sure that the aquifers are maintained at a level that you don't get saltwater incursion, because if you draw too much water from an aquifer and you're close to the ocean, saltwater starts coming in, and that's no good for anyone. So those hard environmental constraints are worked into the code of the system so that you never are able to breach them. Beyond that, then, people who are allocated water rights, including iwi, who would be granted water rights or whose water rights would be recognized through negotiation between the Crown and local iwi and hapu, as well as grandparented in existing consent holders, whether they're agricultural water users or commercial or councils who have a town consent to draw water for residential purposes, they would all be able to bid to purchase more water or purchase the rights to more water within that trading scheme, or to sell some of their existing consents back into the system to others who get more value out of it. And that starts fundamentally improving the process where you can imagine a town council that would like to make some infrastructure investments to reduce the number of leaks out of their trunk infrastructure. Right now, there's not that much incentive for them to do that, so long as they're within their existing consent. It might save them some money on in the longer term if they're able to do it, but they don't really pay for water leaks. If refreshing your infrastructure meant that you had water that you could trade back into the system to others who had more valuable uses for it, that gives you a more powerful incentive to do the right thing, to make sure that your infrastructure isn't leaky, because all of a sudden you're wasting something that has even whose value is properly recognized. So that's kind of why we talk about valuing the priceless, that when councils and others don't really see the costs of being wasteful with precious resources like that, they won't behave well. If we change those incentives, then you can get towards better outcomes. We also think there's just so much potential for unlocking regional development, where you'll have historic water allocations that might not be the best valued uses for that water, but you'll have lots of other properties that were too late coming in a first-come, first-serve allocation process, and often that's iwi-held land that was late to a dairy conversion and, sorry, too late, all of the consents have been given out. Or, as another example, who would put in a kiwi fruit orchard if they didn't have any security of water supply? And that can easily be a more valuable water use than some other existing consented uses. And it's hard to get water for those bits of land now that don't have water rights.
Does it talk at all? I didn't manage to read the entire report, but does it talk at all about reparation of waterways? Because here on the East Coast, we are heavily impacted by sediment pollution. And was there any part of the report that talked to that?
So we've split our report into two parts. This part is only dealing with water allocation issues and trading that way. In the second report, we're going to be looking more closely at whether cap-and-trade approaches have as much promise in mitigating that kind of environmental damage. In principle, there are some good arguments in favor of it, so getting a cap-and-trade regime around the total amount of nutrient load that a lake or a river can withstand, so you set a hard environmental limit again. And we have some precedent for that in Lake Taupo, and we're moving towards that in Rotorua. but it's technically a lot more difficult to get trading there. So we have to do a lot more work to see whether the case stacks up as well in the nutrient management case as it does in water abstraction.
So no doubt you've handed this into the ministers and they have it with them. What happens next with your report?
Well, we will we'll be looking forward to hearing the minister's views on this kind of approach. We talked with the minister and the ministry, of course, as we were developing the report, and some of our recommendations have been augmented by the feedback that we'd received in that kind of consultation process. We hope that the minister is able to pick up the recommendation around cap and trade as a viable way forward and in addressing iwi concerns and trying to get towards that solution. We'll be following up with that. The next part for us more directly, though, is the more thorough investigation of nutrient management regimes and seeing whether there's as much promise there as we think there might be.
Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you. We've just come up to time, but Eric, thank you very much for your time this morning.
Thank you.
Kia ora.